All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, and we are digging deeper, getting to the last section, the core, the meat of Psalm 136 today, as we look at verses 10 through 22. This is continuing to notice that God's steadfast love endures forever. And when the psalmist writes this, he is writing this to bring out the history of the Israelite nation, to bring out the great times that God has shown his steadfast love and his mercy to Israel, especially as we go through the Exodus and the wilderness wandering. So we'll start off in verse 10. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. Here we have the 10th plague. Not even going after all the rest of them. Let's get to the heart of it. The 10th plague, the being thrown out of Egypt by Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and seeing the great wonder of God in the whole process. Exodus 11 has this in great detail. Not only that we have the 10th plague being done, the death of the firstborn from the lowest of the slaves all the way up to Pharaoh's household, we have the Israelites plundering the Egyptians. Not just casting them out with just the clothes that are on their back, but going and plundering the Egyptians beforehand, because they are more than willing to get rid of them, if that will get rid of the Israelites. They will go into the poorhouse themselves if it will get the Israelites out of Egypt. Then we move on from Exodus 11, go through 12 and 13 with the Passover meal, and we get up to Exodus 14, the actual crossing of the Red Sea, as we get into verses 13 through 15. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. Verses 13 through 15 give us again that real short glimpse, and really I'm starting to think this may be one of the places where, like, the Pentecostal churches and the just really vibrant repetitiveness of some of their songs and their worship and their dancing and all of the other stuff that they do may come from this psalm. They may take this as a way to explain why they do that. Not the best of explanations, but, you know, it's probably one of theirs. But we have, again, Exodus 14, verses 19 through 31, giving us the fact that God parted the Red Sea. The Israelites passed through. Pharaoh and his army chased after them, but God caused their wheels to start to clog up and the water to come down over them and wiped out all of Pharaoh's army. All of that in these short couple of phrases. All of this you can see again if you go back into the archives. Go on to wrestlingwiththeology.org. Go to the podcast tab. Go down to Digging Deeper, the Exodus playlist. Go find the episodes where I cover and walk through Exodus 11 and chapter 14 to have more and deeper understanding of that. I don't want to go through and repeat all of that once again, because I want to deal with the stuff that we have not covered on this podcast so far. And so as we get to verse 16, leading the people through the wilderness, we go back to God's words, not only at the Red Sea, but in the wilderness itself. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 through 33. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night, in the cloud by day, to show you by what way you should go. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, leading the Israelites to know where they should go, to visibly be able to follow God. How awesome would that have been? To know that God is right there. You know, maybe scary looking pillar of fire. And I'm not sure about the clouds. There could have been lightning and thunder and all of that in there as well. But to see God right there, leading you in the way you should go. And it continues on. As we see in the readings for Thanksgiving, especially Deuteronomy chapter 8. Where Moses says, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And here's the kicker. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." The great blessings of God's steadfast love again being shown to the Israelites in the plains of Moab as they are awaiting Moses' death and then being able to go over the Jordan River, much the same way as their parents did the Red Sea, so that they could actually go into this land of promise. And it is God leading them all the way. We pick up in the psalm in verse 17. "To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon the king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever, and Og king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever, a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever." So we go back to these great kings that God wipes out, these nations that God takes care of, because they are the ones in the beginning of the list of who God promised to Abraham that they would be gone, that they would be wiped out by his descendants. And so to see this, we go back to Deuteronomy. So back in Deuteronomy, we go to chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. In between the places that we have already read from Deuteronomy before, and we will get to Deuteronomy in digging deeper in the future, because Deuteronomy is a great book to be able to dig into and to go back into Genesis, and especially Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, to see what Moses is talking about, what Moses is reminding the people of. So Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession, out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. Moses reminding the people that when God chose the people, they were the fewest of all people. In fact, they were two. And both of them were well past the age of childbearing, and they were childless. Abram and Sarai. That was when God chose the people of Israel. Not the 2 million that were there in the land of Goshen in Egypt when the plagues hit through, but the two individuals married for many years, but still unable to have children because it was not yet their time. That is when God chose the people of Israel. That is when God chooses us, when we are at our weakest. Because truly, without him choosing us, without him giving us the faith in baptism, in the word, we would not be anything. We would not be listening to this podcast right now. I would not be making this podcast right now if it weren't for the Lord giving me the faith and the ability. Now talks about the setting up and taking out of numerous kings, two of which are named, Sihon and Og. And these come from Numbers chapter 21, as they are coming out from the judgment of the bronze serpent, going into the next place, which is where King Sihon of the Amorites is ruler. So I'm just going to read these verses from Numbers chapter 21, beginning with verse 21, as we look at Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, being destroyed by the Israelites, with God leading them. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into field or vineyard. We will not drink the water of a well. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory." But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. He gathered all his people together and went out against Israel to the wilderness and came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, as far as to the Ammonites, for the border of the Ammonites was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel settled in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and in all its villages. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and taken all his land out of his hand as far as the Arnon. Therefore the ballad singers say, "Come to Heshbon, let it be built. Let the city of Sihon be established. For fire came out from Heshbon, flame from the city of Sihon. It devoured Ar of Moab and swallowed the heights of the Arnon. Woe to you, O Moab! You are undone, O people of Chemosh. He has made his sons fugitives and his daughters captives to an Amorite king, Sihon. So we overthrew them. Heshbon as far as Dibon perished, and we laid waste as far as Nophah. Fire spread as far as Medeba." Thus Israel lived in the land of the Amorites. And Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they captured its villages and dispossessed the Amorites who were there. And they turned and went up by the way to Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against them, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. But the Lord said to Moses, "Do not fear him, for I have given him into your hand, and all his people, and his land. And you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived at Heshbon." So they defeated him and his sons and all his people until he had no survivor left, and they possessed his land. Very simple, very straightforward. God bringing his people into the place, offering peace at first to Sion and the Amorites. Just let us go by the main highway. We won't turn off the road until we get through your territory. You don't have anything to worry about from us. Now, granted, you have a kingdom that you are ruling and trying to protect, and you have 2+ million people saying, we just want to walk through. Yeah, my first instinct is probably to gather my army together and just see how strong these guys are. And well, that did not go well for Sion or Og. The Amorites or Bashan, just as God had promised to Abram many, many centuries before. Because God fulfills his promises. And he does it in a way that seems completely out of the normal. Because as I said, even though they were vastly outnumbered, the Amorites were an established army. They had defeated Moab and taken over their land. So they were trained warriors. Most of the Israelites were not trained warriors. This is one of the first battles that they have. They are truly getting tested, but they succeed because the steadfast love endures forever. All right, we've made it through Psalm 136. Next week, we are in Psalm 139 as we continue to go on through the Psalms, continuing to dig deeper into them to find the rich meaning that is there in even some of the few words as we had today, to know truly that God's steadfast love endures forever and equips you to wrestle with the theology around you. Amen.